Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I've run SWL9, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just from Anaheim, join us by talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone to dial 605-562-0444. The following directions, call ID is 17702. Are going to participate on the web? Just go to the talk show website at www.talkshoe.com. And search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call. You'll find us there. Or you can, for the best online experience, what you want to do is go to twitch.tv. That's twitch.tv/SFU on call. And you will find us there. And if you want to, you can join the wonderful chat room and talk about things that might be related to Starfleet Universe or might not. You never know. And hopefully these days, they will give us the latest scores. That should be ending pretty soon because football season is ending soon. But anyway, moving on, we're in Florida. You need to contact me for any reason. My email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, you'll follow me on the Twitters. You can follow me, my podcasting account, which is sfuoncall, on my personal account, Paul Franz. P-A-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z, there's no T in that, and for Franz Games, F-R-A-N-Z-G-A-M-E-S, and also we have an account on Blue Sky. Currently, that is at franzgames.com. I'm thinking about getting one for, actually, I do have one for SFU on call. I still need to, I want to set up it so that it has, it's the domain, just like franzgames.com is. So, you want to follow me there? You can follow me on that one at the moment. Hopefully soon we'll have sfuoncall.com. Currently we do have sfuoncall. I think it's bsky.social. I think is the domain. I mean, is the call sign on that. So, but anyway, moving onward, when it comes to this lovely talk, Skits and Tub podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Not much news from ADB this week. Big surprise, it has been the holidays. So, you know, the ADB really hasn't been doing much between Christmas and New Year's. Really didn't do much. They had their sale. The sale is ended for those of you. They ended on January 1st. So I'm hoping anyone who wanted to take advantage of that did take advantage of it, of having that 10% discount, which is always good, whether you wanted to get Christmas present for yourself. I've been hearing about that, which is, to me, is always a foreign concept that I grew up. You don't get Christmas presents for yourselves. You know, I understand why people do, because at the time there's lots of sales. So, understand. Moving on forward with that, the final online store this week is Starfleet Times 36 through 40. Big surprise, because I'm going through all of them so that you can have opportunity to buy these wonderful issues. Well, actually, groups of issues that they are selling. And it's only $7.95 for a group of five. And the 36, 37, and 38 were all basically published in October in 1998. So there were, the idea was to make them a very large issue that split over three different issues. And what had in it was engine-mounted weapons on the Alliance ships, support variants such as troop transport, which actually have heavy weapons to match those of the coalition forces. And this was a three-parter, all about those engine-mounted weapons. On issue number 39, the deal's done. An alternate base rules, the deal's done. I'm assuming that ADB was referring to the final deal, the one between ADB and Task Force Games, to give Task Force Games over to the publishing rights and also any leftover IP that Task Force Games had that they would then be given over to ADB to take care of. And issue number 40, Scary Ships of 98. Part 1, Scary Weapons, and also Colony Evolution. That actually sounds kind of interesting. I've not picked up that issue, but I probably don't know. Okay, let's back up. I do have that issue. because I bought every single Starfleet Times issue as it was being shipped. That's because when they had the interim and you didn't have any products, and the only thing that they were allowed to ship was newsletters. You get what you get. You know, actually, they're very interesting issues. I don't remember that issue. And I don't remember the issue where the deal is done. I'm sure it has some of the details of the deal that I just brought forth. Moving onward and forward, when it comes to SFB Online campaigns, yes, I'll actually mention this one because there actually was an update from Frank LeMay's Above and Beyond campaign, which is going strong. It's been going for the past 4 years, since December of 2020. He's been running this campaign, and currently, actually, there's quite a few battles going on. There's 5 different battles in progress, which he puts it, so I figured I would mention here. And just a reminder that if you want to, Frank LeMay is more than happy to look for captains to play out these battles. You know, obviously, you have to volunteer, and I say commanders, whatever, people who actually are running different sides, you know, will have to agree to let you, but I can't see a reason why they wouldn't unless you guys have some issues, you know, that kind of thing. Moving on forward to SFB Online tournaments, the Sapphire Star 18 tournament is still kind of stuck. It should be moving forward shortly. We're looking for the replacement for Stephen McCann. Currently, people are saying, Jack Taylor volunteered first, so he probably would get that slot. And then we have another issue, which is there was a issue with non-aggression. And as somebody pointed out, hey, Peter McKee is not in the tournament. Do the judge, and Peter replies like, no, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be in charge of that because I think I would not do well because he knows judging, and that's one of the toughest judging things that you ever can do. You know, because of it's tough to say the person was non-aggressive. You know, but anyhow, move onward and forward from that. I didn't do much work on online client stuff. I didn't realize how much stuff was on my list. And I've also been trying to have some kind of a vacation. So I haven't got any online client stuff done. I'm hoping that I actually can sit down with my youngest and say, okay, let's get this done. Let's get this installed and have her just running the computer for a bit of time. I'm hoping we can get that all working. So I can actually work on that and also release a new version because there were some issues. And of course I have to work on the Mac also and set that up so they actually can release it. But onward and forward to the library report. The library report, there's still no updates. I need to do some updates and I apologize for not doing them sooner. Again, family and other things to do, and also trying to have at least some kind of a vacation. You know, today was a very busy day, and some of the other days. But anyhow, with that is the news for this week. And it's me, someone else, Paul Funds, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have me and we have Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
We have Neon on with us at the moment. I'm not sure if he's going to stick around or just sit and listen in, which is fine. But
hello.
Hello. Doug, you mentioned before that you thought we missed some things when it comes to the year in review. Any particular things that you think that I missed?
Probably. I didn't keep a scorecard.
Okay.
There's that. mean, the big focus of it was really a lot of the recent stuff with like the Shapeways, Shapeways drama, and them coming back out of bankruptcy and all that.
Well, that definitely was was part of it. You know, did mention about the updated version of the client, which I released last month. I did mention about A2B's back in February that they had released February finished Commander Booster Pack number 39, which is the collector of leaderships for the Rymans, Gorns, and ISC fleets, which, as I mentioned, that I don't think there was actually new ships, but it just might just be a new package because of, as I pointed out last week, when it comes to the ship cards, A2B can't print them at the moment, and they're to print them, according to Steve Cole, it would be like 10 times the cost than it was previously to do those same cards. Because Lord knows, I would love to have him print out the cards because I like collecting the cards. Big surprise. Also, I mentioned about all the updates to the Call to Arms up Starfleet book at 1.2. There were multiple from the Orions to the feds when it comes to the ship cards books. Of course, the whole, I mentioned in July that the Shapeways shut down, that was a big thing. And also Captain Plug number 53 was available on the ebook store. That happened in September. And also I mentioned Gamers of Slumber, where I actually was able to do a demo of the Klingon Armada so that people, you know, could, if at the very least, have it so that it forces me to learn Klingon Armada, how to play it, how to do the interaction, how to do it damage allocation and all that kind of thing. Which is why for Gamers of Winter coming up next month in February, that I plan on doing a demo of the Call to Arms. I'm still gonna also do a Klingon Armada and Federation Commander. If anyone wants to play a Federation Commander, I'd be happy to play that. Actually, from the looks of it, I might have to do, because from Fritz, he gave indicated when he saw that I was actually playing it, then he got interested. I think I might at the very least start up a demo. You know, set it all up so that if somebody wants to join me, they can join me. So they actually know it's happening, not just that it's on the calendar and it might happen, but I'm going to be actively doing it at the scheduled times that I have put on the calendar.
Well, you know, you can actually go on the South Central PA Gamers thread there that we have and post. And I can add that to the schedule if somebody responds.
Well, Doug, I already gave you the list of my schedule.
Well, yeah, you're up there on it. But okay, if say Brits commits to, yeah, I'll do that at this time, I could notate that on the events page that, yeah, we have a committed player coming in for the demo. So maybe right. So that we could generate interest for other people.
Yeah, maybe I'll post out on something for those people who are following, that are part of that group, which is always good.
I mean, it's like I try to get people to do that.
Quick question: so, this is a local demo, or is this on the Starfleet Online?
It's local.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gamers of Winter is a small convention event type of thing.
Oh, great.
I run it twice. I run a gamers event twice a year, winter and summer. And that,
where are you located?
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
Where are you coming out of?
I'm Pacific Northwest. I'm out of Oregon.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hike for me. Just a small one.
Oh, understood.
Then it's a long hike to the airport to get anywhere I need to go. Yeah.
Any good camping places in Oregon?
Yeah, zillions of them. Depends, although you kind of have to like rivers and waterfalls.
I love that. I love waterfalls.
Yeah.
Any good trails?
Yeah, I don't normally go hiking or anything, but I have heard a lot about hiking trails around here. Huh? We got tons and tons of hills. I happen to live in the Cascades. Okay. So yeah, there's plenty of outdoors stuff going on. Much like over there in Pennsylvania, there's I don't know what your weather is over there, but Oregon weather tends to be cloudy and rainy much of the time, mm-hmm. probably about half the year, something like that. So probably about 100 days out of the year we're rainy.
Ah. We really don't have that much rain here in Pennsylvania. So I must admit, the last time I went out camping, it rained on the way there. It stopped before I got there. Unfortunately, where I was camping, and I tried to back in my I couldn't back in my trailer. It just don't ask. But turning it all around, it was hard because it got to be a little muddy.
Yeah, well, I think we're about the same longitude. It's just that we don't have as many hills in the way. I'm about 100 miles from the coast here, so.
That would do it. We're much further from the coast, and the place.
Yeah, just a little bit.
The place I was heading now was northwestern Pennsylvania.
Yeah, what gets us is like all the winter mix and all that. Kind of weather coming from the west, we have the Appalachians that blocks a lot of that for us. I mean, we'll get it, but it's not as bad as if you go into the western central northwest part of the state.
Right.
And the other side is eastern seaboard, so we're really getting the weather more towards the fall when the hurricane season comes in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And spring, so
there you go.
Otherwise we're pretty dry a lot of the year, although we might be looking at a nice little chunk of snow tonight, at least down here, so because farm shows here in central Pennsylvania, farm show weather, blah 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 blah.
And we're supposed to have the possibility of snow on Monday.
We got a little bit of snow over New Year's, not really much, just enough to come down. Nothing stuck, mm-hmm. and that's basically the second snow we've had of the winter. So, anyway, speaking of the New Year's, you were talking about the New Year summary. I didn't catch the last show, so I don't know what you went over. Did you go over anything about the campaigns, like Frank's A and B campaign?
No, I did not bring that up. Though I did bring that up as part of the news portion because I noticed that he did post something about there's currently five active battles, and I definitely mentioned that the campaign started in December 2020 and has been going for the past 4 years. I don't know what the progress is of that campaign. That's one thing.
Unfortunately, I haven't been following what the map has been looking like, but I do know that they've been generating a ton of battles, and they've been looking for battle captains for several years now.
Yeah. Yep.
Each player generates like four or five different battles every turn.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I'm looking at it right now. Looking at some of the battles that were posted back in October. And yeah, that's October 16th. T20 has been cycled and the battle report is out. Okay. There are 19 battles for T20 down from 26 on turn 19. Holy cow.
So,
Where are they right now? This is Y177 Winter. This is turn 20. to complete, to say the very least. The battles take, the turns take a long time.
Looks it like. Does. I agree.
Yeah, so they're still in turn 20. Still in turn 20. Still, okay. So at the moment, they're still in turn 20. Let me just look. Okay, the five remaining battles. Okay. Cool. And Frank mentioned that that we may get these done by the end of January, which is what they're looking towards. So, and I'm assuming with those five battles, which are currently in progress, which is a Klingon versus an MPE Roms. I'm not sure what that MPE means. Hydrans attacking the Klingons. Mike Vindings versus the MPE Paladins. Roche flying. Have no intel on the status on this one. Sorry. Klingons attacking the Zinni. And Klingons versus the Zinni also. But in this case, in BH terrain. I don't know what BH is. Yeah. Is that a certain map that they use or something like that? This is range 20 to the BH. Black hole. Oh.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. The fleets are in. I know that part of the current report is that fleets are in range 20 plus to the BH. I'm assuming that means a black hole, and they're range 8-ish apart. Oh, this could be nasty. This could be freaking really nasty.
Yeah, it's gonna be a bloodbath.
Yeah, because I'm just because you gotta keep your range on the black hole. Because if you don't keep your range on the black hole, it can draw you in, and if you don't have enough power to for your engines to get out of the vicinity of the black hole, you're dead.
And it's harder on the slower units like fighters and drones.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
It'll be rotten if you got somebody on the edge of where they can be, and you just tractored them and tractor rotate towards it.
Right.
You just anchor them, and right. Everybody slows down, and then mm-hmm. you let it go before you cross the threshold.
Right.
Yeah.
The threshold of no return.
The event horizon. Well, kind of.
Yeah. Well, there's certain ranges, if I recall correctly, when it comes to the black hole, and it'll draw you in. You know. Or at this range, or this range, or this range. When there's a point where you're dead. Obviously, they are doing their best to stay far away from the black hole because of the possibly that absolute incident. Currently, oh yeah, I think I saw. Actually, I logged in tonight around 9 because there was a person. That was logged into the server that tried to log in the server, and unfortunately the server thought he was still logged in. There's a glitch, there's a bug in the server which I still haven't figured out, where sometimes that happens where people disconnect, but it doesn't drop them from the server. As in, they're still considered logged in to the server. In that case, I have to go in and have to basically force a log out for that one person. And then they actually can log in.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the person can't call their friend and ask the friend to kick them. I've found the controls to do it, and since nobody else is an administrator, no one else can do it.
Right. It's only me.
Only you. Only that's you. Reasonable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I do not want people doing that to anybody else willy nilly. You know,
right?
Because you can easily see some jerk doing like it. You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Frank's has been going slowly. Actually, back in October is when I actually set up the thread on the discussion board, so you could actually post it there. So it'd be a little more visibility, and obviously a lot of people know how to use the discussion board. The one issue, of course, is it's not secure, which has some problems with some browsers. They don't like it when you're not using HTTPS, because that's becoming the standard.
I'm sorry, Paul. Which board?
The discussion board.
Discord or
discuss
again?
You know, StarfleetGames.com/discuss.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, that one doesn't like. You know, the software is really old. It still works perfect. It's just that it was not designed for HTTPS. It's that old.
Yes.
And the thing is, I know, I like the software. I like the way it is. It's pretty simple, you know, everyone's used to how it works. And my guess is that if they ever tried to upgrade one, it would completely change the look. It would work beautifully, but also we'd lose a lot of stuff too.
Well, yeah, trying to convert the database over from one format to another, that's just asking for headache.
That's asked for data loss too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I know these issues. I've dealt with them when it comes to clients.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is.
I'm somewhat of a computer person too. I'm familiar with the whole discussion. But it's nice, kind of, the fact that they do prune the discussion board. It's caused me some headaches. The fact that they prune certain things that I wish they would have kept.
Yeah.
But so data loss may not be an entirely an issue in right. this case.
Well, here's the one thing. If you want to, you can tell me if they're doing, because they usually send out email, not email, they post to say, we're going to be trimming this topic. We're getting rid of this topic. I can archive them. Because I got some archives of some of the topics, i.e. one of those, which is it was quite an interesting topic, which was pure impulse activity versus call for fire.
Oh, yeah, that comes up about every 6 months or so. We just had that come up last month, I think.
I'm not sure where, definitely not on the discussion board. I didn't see it. I'm sure I was seeing
some. Oh, okay.
Because this was back in the day when we wanted a definitive answer from Steve Cole, which is, which one is it? And I think he answered wrong. Which is the answer to call for fire.
No.
I looked at the rules. The rules don't say that. The rules say basically what you're supposed to do is go through the impulse segments one at a time.
Uh-huh.
What the thing is, what we do as humans, as when we play on Roll of Time, you know, on a board, you know, actual board, and not online, that, you know, what you do is you say like, oh, call for fire. Because that's just to skip everything and say, okay, well, we're going to, you know, I'm going to fire, you know, and so forth. You don't do that for every single impulse. Now, when this, Lord knows, I'm sure people are going to say, well, it's getting back to this again. Yeah, I'm getting back to this again. Which is that back in the day, when we were going through this, I was working on the client so that you actually... Because currently we still have a metadata issue. That is, you bring up the impulse activity. That means, oh, he's going to do an impulse activity, possibly. Of course, then you have people who use that as in the metagaming sense, in that they bring it up just to psych out their opponent, and then it's a cancel.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, it's kind of
no activity. Now, the pure impulse sense, if you want the most valid, the way you can do it, which you cannot game the system, which is every single person who's playing in the game, they all click next. If they click next, they're ready for the next impulse. If one person says, no, I have impulse activity, so they enter their impulse activity and then click activity, boom. Then everyone says, okay, we got impulse activity. Okay, we do the impulse activity. Now, after that, someone can actually ask for impulse activity after that impulse activity. That's completely valid. But the next impulse will not go on to the next impulse until everyone says next. So,
you wanted to set it up to where you hit the next button and it would cycle the impulse rather than
everyone would have to currently we usually have a caller who clicks the next button to go on to the next impulse.
Yeah.
Well, it's next impulse button. Well, in the one I'm thinking of, which is everybody who's playing that game has to click next impulse. Because that's what that means is that that person has no activity planned for that impulse. And we're ready to go on to the next impulse. Therefore, you can't have this whole issue where you bring in the activity. Oh, now I want to do activity. If you didn't know at that point of that impulse, on that impulse that you want to do activity, and you click next impulse, you don't get, and someone else, everyone else says, okay, on the next impulse, you can't go back and say, oh, I made a mistake. I didn't mean click next impulse. You know, and there you can.
Yeah,
but
what you could do, what would be ultimately fair for everybody, in my opinion, would be if you, and it'd be the same thing in live play, would be if you say impulse activity, if you have anything, jot down what you're doing this impulse. If you don't have anything, just click next impulse. And then you're stuck. I mean, if your buddy decides he's going to hit you with a full alpha and you decided you weren't going to do those hit and run raids, well, too bad. You're taking that full alpha without hit and run raids.
I disagree with that because the impulse segments are set up so that you do one thing, whoever does the thing first in the impulse, anything that anybody does after that, they get a chance to see that first thing and react to it.
That is correct.
So if I launch drones, that gives the other guy a chance to shoot at them.
Right. That is correct.
Yeah.
But there's a possibility that if a person says currently, they say, I have impulse activity.
Mm-hmm.
That the other player did not even think about doing impulse activity at that, but before they saw the impulse activity window pop up in their face. And they said, maybe I should do something. Some people do that as a metagaming, as in they're trying to psych their opponent out, that kind of thing.
In that case, that person should get to do their action. The other person gets to do whatever in the impulses after that, whatever they could react to. It's kind of like it's quick draw. You know.
Yeah. There you go.
It's like the Mexican standoffy thing. And the metagaming aspect is yeah, kind of a pain. Because if you do it to try to get somebody to do something that they wouldn't have done, it's kind of wrong in a very, very big sense. On the other hand, if you say, I've got something to do, and they say, I don't have anything to do, but I'll react, then they should be allowed to react after you've done your thing, but they would forfeit acting in that same spot because they don't know it's coming.
Right, but at the same time...
It's pretty simple.
Right, but...
I think the... Go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is that at the same time, the thing is that as per the rules, any person who does a activity at a certain impulse, a segment on that impulse, a person is allowed, their opponent is allowed to react to that activity that's done during that segment. They can do any activity after that segment. Mm-hmm. And that's completely valid.
Yeah, like if somebody alpha strikes you, you can reinforce your shield.
Right.
You can use your bat or... But on the other hand, it's not like... But it's not like I'm doing something in this impulse activity. Do you have anything? And you say no. And I say, okay, well, I'm alpha striking you. Oh, well, I'm just going to fire all these extra single bits of weapon to prevent the Mitzia effect. Uh-uh. That's kind of where it's...
I see where you're
aiming at. But on the other hand, you say, oh, I'm being alpha striked. Okay, well, I didn't have any fire. I said I didn't have anything. But I can still say, okay, I've got my reserve power. I'm going to apply that to prevent some of the damage. You don't get to say, well, I think I'll just launch my Wild Weasel now because you're alpha striking me. It's too late. You've already gone past that point when you've said you had nothing, that impulse.
Well, that's where someone might do, and I think this is kind of a bad form also, but where someone will go and do a call for fire, or even a thinking on fire, and I've seen people do this, where they're kind of wondering whether they want to fire, if the other guy's going to fire, or whatever, so when the impulse activity pops up, they'll go to the disdev step and go thinking on fire. And then just go ahead and go run with that.
Right. But
and the idea.
Right. But that's
the initial idea. Go ahead.
Well, that is what currently we use for call for fire, which is we put in call for fire in the disdev segment. And then after
thinking on fire is, I'm probably going to fire here. I don't know, but I don't want to get in the way of whatever you're doing because fire takes so long to put in because of all the checkboxes and stuff. No, I'm not complaining, Paul, but people think this way and they say, well, it takes so long. I'm just going to let you do what you're doing and we'll get to my fire here when you're done. And so they do thinking on fire because thinking on fire takes a long time as well. But in actual fact, what it ends up doing is it's like, oh, I'm just... This popped up, and I just want to do thinking on fire. That way, if you actually have fire, then it just goes straight on through to the disdev step. And I know you've got fire now.
Yeah. And to me, here's the point. Oh, boy. We're going through this discussion almost. Actually, I brought up the discussion, which was back in 2006. So it's almost 19 years ago. yes, I this is I do have an archive for it. I don't want to re-read it right now because Lord knows I know a lot of this stuff. But anyway, the thing is with doing that, number one is if they're thinking about how they should announce what they're going to fire, or at least put in what they're going to fire. Now, if someone does something before fire, then that will happen, and it will stop at that point. Okay, then you want to, then you can set fire if you want to actually plan on fire. Now, if you're thinking about fire. Why not just put thinking? You know, put in the in the chat room that I'm thinking, but thinking about in when you say thinking, usually the idea is you're thinking about some kind of activity, whether that's movement, speed change, launching drones or plasma, fire, one of those things. And you're thinking about something in general.
Uh-huh.
Is there a reason why people don't do that?
Sometimes they do. Actually, most of the time they do. I'm just brought up this other one because I've seen it happen and people get kind of weird. It's like, oh, you're trying to do me too fire.
Right, right. Well, that was the whole issue with call for fire versus pure impulse activity.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I totally agree with it. 100%. I'm a pure impulse activity person. And anytime I play a tournament game, that's why I have to, because of the ruling by Steve Cole that was many, many years ago, which said basically that by default, you know, if you're going to use call for fire for tournament games, unless both people agree to use pure impulse activity.
Yeah.
And I like pure impulse activity. I'm more than happy to use call for fire, which I disagree with on principle. But I will do it because that is the rule.
Uh-huh.
That was specified by Steve Cole all those years ago.
Yeah, I agree with you, Paul. I'm a pure impulse activity guy, too. It's like, okay, if it just goes straight on through to fire and you wanted to do me too, well, whatever. You missed it. So, yeah, I don't do the call for fire because just the act of calling for fire usually means one person is going to do fire. So the other person sees that and they'll shoot off a couple of phasers too.
Oh boy.
So it does introduce the Me Too fire.
Oh geez. I'm looking back at this and before I archived it, these are the last two posts on this. And this was, the posts were actually in 2008. So 2 years later. This is from Gene Sexton, the Almighty Hand of God. This topic is hereby suspended, and we would have done it, but we had fallen asleep when it flared. I will sort this out, mess out today with Steve's. In the meantime, I'm going to ask everyone to hold tight, and I can express how disappointed some of you are. And then Steve Cole as a last post. Warning, this topic is closed and will remain closed. Do not take the conversation elsewhere. If you do, your post will be deleted and you'll be officially warned for the next violation resulting in a 7-day suspension. If I have to do so and make people pay your attention, I can take further steps. This is temporary interim post and while Patrick drafts an official edict on the subject.
Which we never saw.
We probably did. Remember, this was back 2008.
Uh-huh.
So okay.
I was floating around the thing then. This was probably about the same time they did the shiny turd SSDs. No, those were 2011, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The topic got completely removed and somewhere around November, because the date I have for the file is from the November of 2008. So
okay,
I'm assuming that's probably when that happened. Oh boy,
this is yes.
Okay. David Cheng says, I also believe that the quote unquote original designers bent over backwards to build into the game system, blah, 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 blah. This. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, I'm going to close this now. I've got, you know, a lot of things that I saved. You know, this, for example, the Starfleet Warlord threads, most of them are gone at this point. World League, for those of you who remember that.
I do. I've been actually thinking about putting together a World League, but I can't remember the rules for it.
Let's bring this up. No. Da-da-da. I'm just. No. Beer. I'm just seeing if it was part of the post or not. Yeah. I'd have to look at this more. I think, were there groups?
Yeah, it was teams of three, and one person would fight one other person of the team. You get like a battle per opposing team. And I think whoever won the most point, whichever team won the most points, would go up against the team that won the second most points for the final.
Yeah, I didn't think that existed anymore.
Yeah. I haven't found it on the in the Discus. So it just was so old. I think the last one we ran was nearly a decade ago. I think
it's almost a decade ago. Yeah, you're right. Because this was 2015. Looks like the last one that was organized.
Uh-huh.
Right. And the tourney ended in January of 2018.
There you go. So 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Yep. And I archived that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Thunder. I wish I'd archived the stuff about the newest generation SSDs. There's some stuff there that Cole says didn't happen, but I still remember them.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What do you mean, for the third gen SSDs?
Yes. Yes. The ones where he told me to shut up and go away because I was telling him it was a bad idea.
Okay.
Well. Yeah.
Do you remember what thread that was in?
Yeah. There's still parts of it there, but the part where he promised to give someone whoever did the most, he promised to give a medal or whatever.
Oh, that one.
And
I remember that because he was trying to encourage people to convert, do the conversions.
Right.
Ship submitted. Right.
And I think I believe he had said something where along the lines, maybe this was real early, but along the lines of once we're done with all the regular SSDs, that we were going to convert the tournament SSDs. And that happened to tick off a whole different group of players.
I don't remember that.
Okay.
To be honest, about converting tournament, because there's no, in my mind, there's no reason to convert the tournament ones because they're currently freely available on his website.
Yeah, for download. I agree. Right.
The reason why they wanted them converted was basically because of the issues with copyright. Basically, people stealing.
Yep. Because the SSDs are basically the only IP that they have on the game. The rules aren't necessarily, because people will take them and adapt them and everything else, but the SSDs are pretty much unique that way.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Third generation description project.
Yeah, I'm kind of poking around there right now too.
That would be the one, I would think.
Yeah.
Oh, he did list the tournament ships.
Really, it's just water under the bridge. I mean, it's so long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I see where he listed it. And then that terminators were the last thing to be converted. Of course, there's some issues with basically we got stalled on when it comes to Omegas in that we don't have the background images for the Omegas. So we can't create Omegas. We can't convert those. And Steve Cole seemed less rambunctious about the Omegas. Well,
yeah, you're right. I mean, we can't convert anymore because we don't have more artwork.
Right, exactly.
That could be an entire hour by itself. That whole rabbit hole. Good Lord. So.
Yeah, the Omegas and the Magellanic Cloud and the other locations they tried to do.
Right, right. And then fighters and shuttles. Actually, fighters and shuttles, that's actually one of those ones that I've thought about. And the thing is, I probably should create a survey on that, which is one thing I've been thinking about when it comes to the fighters and the shuttles is actually remove the SSDs completely when it comes to the fighters and the shuttles.
Because, okay.
Well, they don't seem much use to have actual SSDs for the most part. You know?
Well, they're pretty, and it's nice to look at them because it shows the weapons.
I want to mark that box off. Yeah. It's kind of a tradition thing there. I mean, yeah, you could just say it's a numeric thing and say it's got X strength by.
Yeah, the biggest issue.
That's part of the traditional feel of the game.
Well, I understand, and trust me, that there's been more than one person who's approached me and saying, "Is there any way we can get back the original SSDs? You know, the ones that actually used
one.
You know, there've been more than one."
Yeah, I personally know three people who have totally quit the game because of the third generation SSDs. I personally know at least three people.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Well, I was running a campaign at the time. I was running Another Way to Glory when they did that. So I was in contact with about 20 other people that were in the campaign. And they were not happy, generally.
Yeah, well. I run my business at the behest of Steve Cole.
I agree. Yeah, you don't have any power in this. I agree.
Right.
Yeah. And it's a total rabbit hole to go down to. So there's that.
Yeah, and you know, after we got done the basically all of, or at least most of, the Alpha Octant ships, and then the main ones, the Feds, the Klingons, the Romulans, all those.
Right.
After we got those done, he's quit squawking. You know.
He did. I agree.
He didn't have any of the backgrounds for Omega Magellanic, which basically is because he hasn't done Federation Commander for those. Because that's where the background images come from. It's from Federation Commander.
I thought a lot of that came from the ship outlines that we see in the Section R. For example, the Master Ship, Master Starship books use that same artwork, don't they?
That wouldn't surprise me. But again, they were originally designed for Federation Commander. Because if you notice it, they basically are the same. You just removed all the boxes, and then you have just the background image.
That's true.
Because they're layered. So that's how we do it. And so because we don't have Federation Commander ships for Omega and Magellanic and all those other ones, we don't have the ship cards. That means we don't have the background images. Because we don't need the background images. We don't have to do the work to create the background images because they don't have the ship cards.
So here's a question for you.
Okay.
I've been looking at doing the Saludra, for which are Omega. They're kind of the bad guys over there.
You mean the Saludra?
There's yes.
Yes.
And there's not a lot of artwork for them. There's some of the second generation SSDs yeah. I can try to pull the artwork out of. But so I haven't wanted to go to Cole, mostly because he told me to go away. He doesn't want to hear from me. So I'm kind of stuck either generating the artwork myself or perhaps even trying to replicate a second generation SSD.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I ought to do?
Well, give me one quick sec here. Okay. Currently, what do I have currently posted for Saludra in the library?
One moment, let me look. Because I've got the second generation SSDs in my GitHub.
Yeah, because it looks like we have, from the looks of, I'm looking at the one file I post that has a list of everything. Well, this is what I upload to the server. They have one actual file which lists all of the ships that can be downloaded, and then the client knows what ships are available. Looks like we got the Saludra, the heavy cruiser, the light cruiser, the
carrier.
We got the dark energy cache DC, the destroyer, the dreadnought, the frigate, the FT, which is a torpedo frigate, the survey ship, and the tanker.
And we don't have any of the shards.
Right.
And so if we wanted to do the shards, those are done just like fighters, I think.
Yeah.
But, okay. So what if I wanted to convert these to third generation?
Well, there's,
so that we can...
We don't have...
So we can start using.
Well, we don't have any support for third generation fighters. See, that's the only thing we hadn't done yet. So in which case, you can... Since, look, Cole also dropped the ball when it comes to fighters. We have no outlines for fighters either.
That's true. I have to do a CAD design on every fighter. It's a real pain in the rear end.
Yep. Which, in my mind, if you wanted to duplicate what ADB has, I'd say go do it. I don't think, because I really don't think that people are going to be stealing fighters.
That's really true.
You know, and I don't think Cole is losing money because of fighters. What's the point of having fighters if you don't have the carriers?
Right.
You know, and then what are they? They're a bunch of boxes. That's all.
That's all they are. You're right.
There's not much to them.
Icons tell you what's on them.
Right, that's why I thought about the idea of removing the SSDs completely and just make them lines. You know, so it's easily, you can see a whole squadron easily. I mean, when it comes to instead of having SSD have lines, you still have the counters, which would be this, which look like the fighters. You know, that'd be obviously one of those gotchas, which is creating a counter for the fighters.
Uh-huh.
That'd be about it.
Going back to the, the spreadsheet view of the fighters.
Right. I actually got to see if it works, which is inside the client, it still has support for text-based ships.
Isn't that what a demo account sees if they see a regular SSD?
That's what they should see. I don't know if they do see. I think was it Les LeBlanc? I think I actually reported a bug where that wasn't coming up. You know, I mean, it wasn't the demo, maybe, I think the issue might be that the demo count, that the text-based ships wouldn't work or something like that. I have to check, because here's the problem is that with I forget why what the problem is. I think the problem is because of the text-based SSDs were originally designed for the second generation SSDs. The original ones that were part of it, and I'm not sure they work with the third generation.
Okay. Well, you know, my account's up here in a week or two. I'll probably be able to give you a feedback on that.
Yeah, in theory, I should.
Yeah, we should look at that.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God, I love it. Back in 2012, they was, oh, you know, okay, Paul, cool. There's only, I forget what this was. Do I still have that? I might. I'm going to look that up. Oh, I still have that. Oh. Oh, this is one of the possibilities I had. If you look back in there, there was a link, and actually, the GIF still exists on my web server. And that is, the idea was to basically take what we had when it comes to the SSDs and remove all of the boxes.
Uh-huh.
You know, but basically, so you'd still have the outlines of the box.
Uh-huh.
And Steve Cole replies back, that one is not acceptable to A to B. It's no better than what we have now. Any time spent doing that would be wasted. Okay.
Yeah. So,
of course, I said, oh, Steve, I don't think that would be, but I want to make sure that you saw what David's vision was. And understand that it needs to be summary boxes, as the example showed. I think this is the way to go. But to me, the one thing that really needs to be worked on is how to handle refits, because unlike FIDCOM, SFB has all kinds of refits and ship definitions need to offer this as is in the past.
Hey, speaking of the refits, it was a while ago. You wanted to take over the general units, yeah, because you didn't like how the refits had done.
Yeah.
Have you done any movement there? I'm interested to know what your vision was, what you wanted to do there.
Yeah, there's two things on that. Well, number one, obviously the one thing that has been requested by Frank and Matt?
That's me.
Oh, hi, Matt.
Hi.
And that was, I know you guys requested me to create a YouTube video, basically, that would describe exactly how to do a refit.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, because the original person, Aaron Staley, him and I worked together.
Yeah, he was a machine. He was a machine. He did a bunch of artwork for you.
No kidding. He did a great job. It was fantastic. Yeah. Now, I'm not sure if you guys noticed, but I definitely noticed, where some of the old second generation SSDs were wrong. There were things like that the shields were wrong. You know, like I think it was one of the Klingon frigates had a rear shield, which supposedly, well, if you look at the actual graphic, it only shows, like, I think 15 boxes in the back. But if you actually count them up, actually it was like 30. And it showed it was all around the back. You know? So, yeah. There were some issues with those SSDs. And that's fine. You know, the problem is that nobody actually test there was testing the SSDs, you know, and verifying that, okay, what they were. But anyway, Yeah, I still got to do that. Also, yeah, I got to check to see. I know Chris Warren, you sent some updates to the generals. Correct.
Yes, I've been trying to update the generals as Frank has found problems.
Right.
He has been doing a lot of testing of those recently.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll make sure those are up to date, and because the biggest issue that there were is two things. One is the what's called race based. Forgive me, Gene. I know that the empires, but I call them race based. SATs, which is basically the name of the race. The name of the refit is the name of the race. Now, if you want to have, you can have multiple levels of them. Like you have, say, this race, and then you have refits for that race. And that's using the slashes. Because the slashes define basically sub refits. You know, so you can apply, you can have like a race-based refit, and then you can say, oh, okay, Y176 refit is this, Y184 is this. And obviously the big criticality when it comes to refits is that the boxes defined for each refit overlay the previous box of the refit so that they are considered replacements.
Actually, you would prefer that they added instead of replaced?
No. No, they should be replaced. But the problem was that I'm seeing these refits. There's the Federation Y176, like 174 refit. Federation-184 refit. I mean, there shouldn't be two separate refits. There should be a Federation refit, which updates it for the Federation. And then if there's something different, when it comes to the Y-184 refit or whatever, it should just have those changes from the Fed, you know, from the standards Federation refit to make it a Federation generic ship, and have it so that then, okay, if you upgrade like the Phaser 3s, or sorry, some Phaser 2s to Phaser 1s, you know, that's just the Phaser 1s are part of the refit. So what you would do is you'd select the Federation, then you'd select the Y-1FA refit, which would then pop up. That would be available when you selected the Federation as the race.
Okay. Well, I'm a little confused about it. If you wouldn't mind maybe putting this in an email so we can talk about it off chatter here.
Right.
But I'm very much interested because I'm the one that did all the general SSDs. So I'm the one that you're picking up from.
Right.
And I would like to do better because I would like to do better.
Right. Because here's what happened, what's been happening with that. And this is what got me frustrated. Is that the refits, the race-based refits weren't during right. And what happens is that since the race matches the refit name.
Uh-huh.
If the race name does not match the proper name, you get no side slip counters, you get no turn mode counters, you get no drones, you get no plasma counters. Those are what they match up with the race. And that's why it does that.
Okay. And I
kept on having to going back, and then I get reported a bug. That side slip counters don't work anymore. Okay, so what I have to do, I just have to go in and I have to go update the library to fix that ship. And that was the frustrating part.
Right. Okay. Well, if you can let me know what the problem is more in email, I would love to fix the problem for you just across the board.
Okay.
I know that you've been kind of busy. You haven't had time to fix this. I actually presently have some time on my hands, so I can put some time into this for you.
Mm-hmm. Understood. One thing I definitely should do is to, I can describe it in an email, and I probably do it very poorly. I think probably the best thing is I still got to create that video. I got to sit down and spend the hour to go through it step by step. Okay, this is how it's done. This is, and when you do this, this is what will happen.
You know? Okay. Okay. Sure.
Yeah, I think that was the best way to communicate. What actually should be done. Now, I still remember Aaron Staley asked me for a feature to rearrange the refits. That is not easy.
No, I end up going into the definition file itself, and I do that manually.
Yeah, yeah, that's currently the only way to do it. Is to actually go into it and move the sections of it, because the problem is the refits are like this, and then on the back end there are basically it's like what's in the file is that it's just all of the boxes are defined for that refit, and it's not associated with the refit itself. It's just the index for that array is that refit. So, it
ignores all other refits. So anytime you have a refit, for example, like a general base, like a bats, if you had a refit for the Federation and that was in index number 3, then it would just go down to number 3 and pull out those boxes, and it would ignore 2 and 1 and 5 and 6. And it would just ignore all of those, even if it's a Federation later refit. You actually have to select that later refit and put in there all of the boxes that were in the previous refits.
But that's what you shouldn't have to do.
Okay.
That's the point. Uh-huh. When you have the Federation refit, you can define all those changes that are for the Federation. But then if there's an upgrade for that refit for the Federation, you should be able to do Federation/ Y-176 upgrade and just define those updates, those weapons that change from the Federation refit to those updated weapons for that particular one. So you shouldn't have to.
If the Federation specific stuff is in index 2, 3, 4, and 5, you put Klingon in 6, then wouldn't that
Don't worry about that. That it handles the actual selection of it. So don't worry about that.
Okay.
The only reason I mentioned the index is because the only time that comes into play at all is the order that they show up in the drop down in the definition tool. And obviously, it will also show up. I think that order is also the order that's shown up for if you have race-based refits. Yes. Race-based refits, yes. It will bring a drop-down list, which should be just that race. Should not specify, because when you select that race, below it will pop up any refits that apply to that race.
Hmm. Okay, well, I think you've given me enough. I can start playing around with it and see what happens. But I am interested in getting more information.
Right.
If you don't mind doing that video.
No, I don't mind doing the video at all.
Okay. Yeah. This sounds good.
Yep. Okay, well, I got to shut it down. It's getting late. This turned into... The history of us, minor bit of history when it comes to SMP Online.
Yes.
No big deal there. And a little bit behind the scenes on ship definition and some of the minor issues there. I'm sorry if I haven't updated the latest fixes that you guys have sent me.
That's okay.
I'll get to him this weekend.
Yeah, Frank needs them more than I do because I think he needs them for his campaign.
Right. That's where most of the updates are coming from, or from the campaign.
Yes.
Because I'm willing to bet you there's still those issues I mentioned before.
Uh-huh.
For the second generation definition, I'm willing to bet that there are still some there for the third generation definitions.
I'm not surprised. I did most of those, and I'm human.
agreed. And again, remember how good Aaron Staley was? I mean, yes. Creating these things again and again and again. He was a madman when it comes to him. But even him, he created the issues. You know,
uh-huh.
Things weren't perfect. Obviously, I did add a feature which was to help him, which is if you ever looked at the original second generation definition tool, there's an option to actually do a summarization. You can say, okay, summarize how many of each box this is. The idea of that was so that you could actually look at it without looking at it. Because you can say, okay, here's the boxes that we'll have to find. But the question is, how many are actually there? Because you, in theory, could lay boxes on top of boxes of the original ship definition. And that happens sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what we did. But anyway. Matt, it's definitely been a pleasure talking to you, and you have a good night.
Thank you, Paul. You too.
Doug, nice having you around.
Well, thanks for having me on. Also, reminder, Gamers of Winter is coming up. President's Day weekend. Also, I think, is that Valentine's Day weekend this year?
I don't know.
It's usually the 14th?
Well,
in February, roughly.
Yeah, well, it's definitely the 14th of February. That's definitive.
And we're on the 15th, which is Saturday.
Oh.
So.
Okay, well, it's Saturday.
There
you go. So it's the weekend after Valentine's Day. So for those of you that actually celebrate Valentine's Day, around Valentine's Day, then, yeah, that might be an issue. Hopefully not.
You could just make it a date weekend.
That's true.
Because, you know, if couples that game together stay together. Blah, 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 blah,
blah. I wouldn't say that completely. I was thinking about Elizabeth and Vince.
Oh, hell no, I wouldn't say that either. I've seen the drama there, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's not go there. Anyhow. Well, Doug, you have a good night.
Thanks, you too.
Okay. Well... had some technical difficulties there. Still, I apologize for the Twitch people that I wasn't able to do it live. There was a problem with OBS, and I'm assuming the interaction between OBS and the sound system. I'm not sure what I'm going to need to do there. I might have to actually do an upgrade to the operating system, possibly. I have to double check that. I definitely could not do that today. Especially after I figured it out. Otherwise we'd be waiting until. Anyhow, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.